My last year of seminary, all the guys who were about to be ordained priests have to go through this final examination. I can't remember what we called it exactly, but you basically have to go in front of all the priests who are in charge of you for like an interview where they ask you about what you desire about priesthood and what you want to do, what you've learned, blah, 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 all the things. And at the end of this interview, they basically give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Spoiler alert, thumbs up. You're stuck with me. And they had different questions ranging in profundity. And one of the questions that stuck with me, because it really just caught me off guard, one of the priests said, you know, you come from St. Louis, you have a beautiful cathedral basilica there, just ornate with mosaics. And I don't know if you've ever been to the cathedral basilica in St. Louis, but every square inch is basically littered with these mosaics of the life of Christ, of salvation history, creation, the prophets, the Beatitudes, so many, the history of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, all these things. And he says, of the mosaics in that cathedral, which do you most identify with? Which is your favorite? And I wish I had said something more profound. It really just caught me off guard, but I was homesick. And I said, the seal of the city of St. Louis is somewhere in the basilica. And it's basically just a steamboat going down the Mississippi River. Not Jesus. Not the Blessed Mother. And anyway, thumbs up for me. But I think about mosaics, it's an incredible thing. I mean, what a mosaic is hundreds, thousands, potentially millions of pieces of broken glass, colored. Broken glass that an artist has to creatively place all in the right place so that it gives forth an image. An image that hopefully is really a window into the mystery. That I can look upon an image of Christ on the cross, a mosaic of all these bits and pieces of shattered glass. And I see through this window not just to the image that's there, but that I can see Christ in his offering of himself. You can see the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. And what you're looking at is this perfectly ornate image. And yet, you don't even realize it while you're looking, but it's like all these little tiny pieces that fit together so beautifully. And you had to have one artist who could take this piece and that piece and another piece and say, this goes here and this goes there. And that's not the right shade. Let's find another place for that. Today in the gospel, Jesus tells us right at the beginning, we hear Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. Oh, that's the wrong one. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. And maybe we disqualify ourselves and we say, well, that's not me. I don't despise everyone else. Just her. Or just him. Or just that family and their weird relatives. Or this politician. And there's this, if we can take an honest examination, it's like, okay, maybe I don't despise everyone, but there's certainly some people I keep at a distance. And maybe I am convinced of my own righteousness, not entirely, but I'm doing better than he is. I'm probably closer to the Lord than she is. And it's easy to put people in boxes. It's this little broken part of us that's not completely healed, that's not completely integrated. We don't love yet as Christ loves us, that there's pride that wells up in us time and time again. And I want to beg the question, with these imperfect parts of our lives, what do we do with it? And I think back to the mosaic. It's like I notice, Lord, there's this broken piece of glass over here, and you're the divine artist. I want to hold that up to you. Can you find a place for that? Can you find a place where that one fits? And then Jesus is going to ask you, he's going to say, well, what about that thing in your life? Would you mind if I take a look at that? Would you offer that to me? And he's going to be able to take that and he's going to say, I'm going to find a place for this. Maybe not right now, but we're going to put it exactly where it needs to go. And who are we to say to the artist, no, I think you're doing a bad job. We get this in Isaiah. Isaiah says, the clay can't say to the potter, you're doing a bad job. The clay's there to be formed. The clay's there for the designs of the potter in his own imagination and his own creativity. You can't say to the potter, you're screwing all this up. And the same thing to the Lord. Who are we to in our own pride say, you've messed this up. I could do a better job than you, God. And my life would be better if you let me rule it. And so he takes all the fractured, all the broken pieces of our heart, all the broken pieces of our lives, if we're willing to surrender them to him, and he finds a place for it, that he brings all things together. Jesus continues on. There's two people who went up to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee goes up and he speaks his prayer. God, thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income, pray the rosary, go to mass on Sundays. I'm like basically a good Catholic. And you pat yourself on the back. And the tax collector stands off at a distance. Tax collectors, you know, are like the most despised of their comrades in Israel. Because these are Israelites, Hebrews, Jewish people, who are now working for the Roman government. So they've betrayed their own family, they've betrayed their friends, their own countrymen, and they said, we're going to work for Rome and we're going to tax you over and above really what you owe. And we're going to take some for ourselves as well, which was so often the practice. That in the eyes of their friends, they are traitors. True betrayal is at hand. In Dante's Inferno, at the very bottom level of hell, is those who betray their friends, which is different than what Jesus does. The night of the Last Supper, he says, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And yet the tax collectors were the ultimate perpetrators of betrayal. And the tax collector knows this, and he's embarrassed. And he beats his breast like we do at the beginning of Mass. And he prays, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this would be a really easy time for this tax collector to turn in on himself and despair. To say, I'm too far gone. That this is as good as it gets. That I don't get better than this. There's no way God could love me. But he doesn't despair. He doesn't collapse in on himself. And rather, instead of turning to despair, he turns and depends. He learns dependence. And this is the beauty of the Christian life, that God, as the divine artist, asks us to depend on him, that he wants to order, he wants to restore, he wants to bring about the good in our lives, not that we take it on ourselves and then everything's up to me, but rather I have to surrender and depend on him, to rely on him, to trust in him, that I do need to cry out at many moments of my life, God, I've messed it all up, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know where this shattered piece of my heart goes. I don't know where this broken relationship goes. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what the future holds. I hand it to you. You find a place for it because I don't know. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord has high praise for this tax collector. He says, I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the Pharisee. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Maybe we're not totally prideful, but there's always pockets of pride. And what humility is, isn't just weakness. It's not weakness, even a little bit. Humility is one of the greatest strengths that we can have. To humble ourselves as Christ humbled himself, that he descends from the heavens, becomes man, offers himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. Humility is knowing profoundly who I am, knowing my gifts, knowing my weaknesses, knowing my story, knowing how God's been part of it and he will not abandon me. And yet there's a great power in knowing that I get to depend on him, not that I have to, but that I get to, that he orders all things well. And so when we consider the mosaic of our lives, what pieces is the Lord asking us to offer to him? It's a beautiful thing that we bring up bread and we bring up wine. But what shattered pieces, what broken pieces of my life is the Lord asking me to offer to him? Maybe I don't despise everyone else and I'm not convinced of my own righteousness, but Jesus wants to bring wholeness to our entire human being. Only he can do it. We truly cannot. And so we ask for the humility to place ourselves before him to rely on him, to surrender, and not to despair, ultimately to depend entirely on the